This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Just a Tip, the podcast that's equally about its tangents as it is about its tips. I'm your host, Megan Batoon, and in this episode, musician and artist Gabby Hanna joins me to talk breaking points leading to breakthroughs, uncovering your true identity, and the journey of finally meeting yourself. This was such a genuinely refreshing conversation about the life of creators, and I found it very insightful and inspiring, so I hope you enjoy.
Can I be here?
You're telling me that you'll be right here.
I'm right here.
It's an audio check, but it is like a very cute friendship exercise.
Totally. Like I'm here for you.
I'm right
and
here.
You know that.
I know you are. This is so exciting.
I know. I like this. It's like our workaholic way of maintaining
hanging
a friendship.
Out. It's kind of smart though.
Totally. That's why I love the show so much.
Yeah. Your show.
Yeah. Because I can just like, it's making me talk to people who I would normally probably not make the effort to like do it with.
Why is it?
You're
who are
different.
You finding?
You, I was nagging you before I started bringing guests on the show. So,
Crumbs has joined us. First of all, I have to say, like, to everybody listening, like, I do feel like I'm interviewing a different person.
That's so cool.
And I also am not interviewing you. So I love that I said that.
I mean,
I guess it is like you
technically are, but I feel like ours is probably going to come off a lot less. Your show is never really interviewee, actually.
No, I always feel weird when it's like when people call me an interviewer. Because we have podcasts. Do you get called an interviewer?
I mean, people critique my episodes as interviews.
Oh.
So I think that, yes, there's probably still some confusion. And also, I could probably do some work on being a better host.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't consider myself like a journalist.
Yeah, no, like, same.
Yeah, that's what an interviewer is, like a journalist. And like, I'm just having conversations with my friends on camera.
Mm-hmm.
I naturally talk a lot. So like in the podcasts, if you're looking at it as an interview, it's like, damn, like, let your fucking guest speak.
Oh.
Which makes sense. But, like, that wasn't what I was going for.
Yeah. I mean, when it's a podcast, it's a collective thing.
Yeah, it's just we're chilling.
I mean, yeah. Well, in this case, we are. But
did you notice a lot of podcasts? I feel like it's because they were started by influencers. That's, like, no shade. But I feel like podcasts became a big thing amongst influencers or people who are YouTubers. Like, oh, I also have a podcast.
Right.
But a lot of times people can't carry a conversation in that way. So they're like, okay, it's kind of like when you do a book and it's like, hey, do you want a book deal? We can help you write a guide for high schoolers. And then you just put your name on
Yes.
it. It's basically like that with podcasts where they're like, we'll book you guests and then we'll write you some questions.
I see.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So I think people kind of get that in their head as what a podcast is.
Right. Okay. All of that tangent to be said, I feel like I'm talking to a different person because it's like we've talked like, I don't know, maybe 3 times.
Sorry, but I just did the thing on your podcast that I do on my podcast
what?
Where I take over. That's bad.
Thoughtless. No, I have to say.
Okay.
Like, I'm so excited to talk to this version of you.
You're so sweet.
I'm not kidding. Like, I've just been like very inspired by the past couple of days by like our conversations and
That's
seeing
awesome.
This version of you. Like, it's a different version of you.
And it's just like so happy.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
It's like radiating and it has a lightness and I'm so happy for you.
You know what's awesome about that is how much you inspire me too, which you already know. I feel like, or maybe I've not done a good enough job expressing it. you inspire me a ton. That's why I always reach out to you with questions.
You have,
or like, because I really respect your opinion. Same. And like your style and shit like that. So like when I have questions about like life or decor, or whatever it is, mm-hmm. like I like reaching out to you because you inspire me. I like the way you move.
Yeah.
So like, it's just cool to hear that the person who inspires me, I also inspire.
That's the most ideal relationship ever. Totally. Whether it's like a friendship or a romance, whatever it is, like that's the thing. That's the X factor of connection, I think.
Yeah, it is. And like, stop wasting your time with people who don't inspire you.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be a clip on your Instagram. That's the one. Oh, my God. Like, stop wasting your time with people who don't inspire you. You're going to be like, ooh, Instagrammable clip, bitch. Yes.
I love that you're thinking in the back end of like what goes out. That's how you know you're a business owner and an influencer.
Well, it's how you know I'm a fan of your content.
That too.
Because like I know what your branding
make it.
Is. Yeah. I know what's up.
I really want to talk about the journey to get to this person.
Oh, for sure.
Because you've told me a few things and I've like really been thinking about them for quite some time. I've talked to my friends about implementing them and I'm like, it just is so cool to see the growth. And like, I want that. Oh. It's like, it makes me want to like do something, you know, to like truly, truly find yourself. I just was watching all of the videos on your new channel.
Did you watch them?
Yeah.
I was wondering about that low key, my narcissistic ass. I'm like, I wonder if Megan's watched the videos.
I did because I have it on the internet. So I didn't even know, right? Mm-hmm. Like my job was just like on camera every single day. So I knew nothing. And then when I finally get back home and then have time and then we talk and you tell me about the channel, I'm like, oh, and then I just watch all the videos and it's just like, I read all the comments. Like I am a fan of the comment section. I'm a fan of the content.
Whoa, that's so cool.
Because it's like people are saying like this is such an awesome community that you've built. Like this is a safe space. Like it's so cool to see you meet yourself. It's nice to meet you too.
Yeah.
It's just like what it's just such a sanctuary little like secret that you found.
That's such a cool way to put it.
I think it is.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it too. That's why sometimes I get nervous because I actually had a breakdown in a vlog yesterday that I'm not going to post. Mm-hmm. But for what, I just don't like it, so I'm not going to put it up.
Yeah.
But I get so nervous because like right now I'm enjoying it so much.
Yeah.
But like people try to twist everything so much that I do sometimes that like I can see these like really vulnerable clips of me, like, for example, like talking about why I felt like I had to play a character for all these years and like what that meant hanging out with people who made me feel bad about myself, whatever. And to me and to the people watching right now, it's like a really beautiful moment of like self-reflection and acceptance and accepting shame of things you've done and also embracing the reasons that you've acted the way you have or whatever. But that could so easily be taken as she's playing the victim. She wants us to feel bad for her. This is her trying to garner sympathy so that we forget about what a shitty person she is. She's such a narcissist. Look how she talks about herself. She's a loose cannon. Like, look at her crying on the internet. She's delusional. Like, all this shit.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm like, right now it's fun, but like, if the wrong person decides to say whatever they want, it could very easily, like, you know, flip. But I'll be grateful that I've done it regardless because it's obviously made me a much happier person.
Yeah. Why do you think that is specifically?
Just being able to talk out, like truly talk out your feelings. Like one of my biggest problems was like, I am for sure a workaholic. So like an actual degree where when I was a kid, I would hear the term workaholic and I'm like, that just sounds like someone who works a lot and that doesn't sound like a problem.
Right.
And as an adult, like actually understanding the implications of being a workaholic, like it's kind of a fucking sickness where it's like, oh, I don't enjoy my life or my relationships or have fun or have hobbies because everything I have to do needs to further me in my career. It was an obsession. So like, and I think you're probably
similar. That sounds pretty familiar.
Yeah. So like the fucked up thing is like, I had to make my self-healing part of my career. So also kind of ironic. Yeah, it's kind of ironic.
Holy shit, yeah. My brain actually hurts.
Like, it happened because
holy
I was
shit,
like,
because otherwise yeah. you wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, of course.
Oh my God.
But I didn't start it, like, truthfully. I did it because, actually, you want to hear why I started the channel?
Yes.
I think I might have told you about this, so stop me. But I started it because I just realized how obsessed I am with legacy. And, like, that my biggest fear is, like, looking at someone like Michael Jackson, who is, like, a fucking icon, idol, revolutionized music and sexuality and gender norms and so many things. But, like, when you hear Michael Jackson, what do you think of?
Right.
When you hear Ellen now, like, the Ellen Show, what do you think of?
Mm-hmm.
When you hear, like, there's so many names where it's, like, your legacy is gone. And for me, it felt like so many people were trying to control the narrative of my legacy.
Mm.
And like, I've never been like a money driven person. I've always been an achievements driven person. So to me, being successful, making something of myself, getting approval was so important.
Why was approval so important? Is that something you grew up with, or is it something that...
Yeah, it all goes back to childhood shit, just like not getting praise when I was younger mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So like, I was like raised by bullies and like I was never praised. So I grew up seeking the love of bullies and seeking praise. So like that was my goal in life, was to feel loved and accepted. And that's why I was so obsessed with being popular.
Mm.
Like all of these things of just like, what is it to be popular? It's to be loved and admired and liked, and everybody knows who you are and everybody cares. People care about you.
Yeah.
So I was chasing popularity, and I felt like the way to do that was success, and my entire life was chasing nothing because I never actually knew what love is. So right. How could I fucking chase it? I had no idea.
Yeah.
So that was just like, I don't know. I keep getting lost in these tangents, but like.
That's no, it's just so beautiful. Like that was the path. Like you were chasing nothing because it is blind. Like you can't see yeah. it, you can only feel it. So how can you know what you're searching for unless you've already felt it before?
Yeah, of course. Like if you're not raised with love and confidence, how would you know what you're missing? You chase what you were given.
Confusing it for love and praise.
Totally. You just like, your example of a relationship is your example of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know how to be a good partner or receive a good partner, you're not going to.
Yeah.
Because you won't deserve one until you do the work too. Like,
right.
I was a bad partner for a long time because I didn't know what it meant to be a partner. And then each relationship, I learned more about what it was to be a good partner until I met somebody who is finally deserving of my love and I'm deserving of his. Like,
yeah.
That's how it works.
This is like such a neurotic me question to ask. Like my therapist would love, like she would not love it. She would laugh at it if I was like, okay, so like how long does that take? Like I'm like scheduling it in my life to go like, how long do I have to do this to get results? Like that's I don't know where that comes from, but it's like anytime I want something, I know exactly like the mathematical way of getting it.
Yeah.
Or I don't know it, but I think of everything like a math problem. So if my therapist tells me to like sit and feel my feelings and then I go, okay, and then what should I be looking out for? How long will this take? And I overthink it.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, you just have to feel it and then you'll understand what happens at the end.
Yeah.
But she could have just told me, but I know she didn't tell me because she wants me to figure it out on my own.
Yeah, because unless you figure it out on your own, like you're just not going to figure it out. It's kind of like when I was like practicing humility and gratitude, I would say, for years because like I was making the point to like this every day, this is what I'm grateful for, this is how I'm blessed, here's how things could be worse. Like I was doing that every day, but like it was because I knew I was supposed to do that thing, because I know that that's what good people do, is like count your blessings, but I wasn't actually fully counting them.
Yeah,
because I was just like, I know that I have all these things, but I don't actually understand what that means. Which is crazy.
Yeah.
But then when you actually realize that, you're like, damn, life's rocks.
Yeah. Speaking of life about to rock a little bit more, I feel like you have gotten me excited to be 30.
Oh my God, it's gonna be the best.
It's like, you're like 30's front runner.
Yeah.
It's making me much more comfortable with it. Not that I was
hell
uncomfortable.
Yeah, dude.
But it's like, I think you're in such a pivotal point right at the start.
Yeah.
Where you like, you are the only person on the track having such a pivotal moment between like a decades, yeah. 20s and 30s. And like, you're the only one that has like your shoelaces tied. Whoa. Like, and everybody else is like getting ready for the race.
Yeah, but there's some people who get it way before me.
Yes, but they are not as close to me in age.
Got it.
So like, yeah. It's so exciting for me to see you because you're 1 month older. You and I are so similar, and seeing like your growth, it's like, oh, if it takes you this long and you've done this and you're 1 month above me, then like, yeah, maybe it'll maybe me next month.
You're doing the thing. Stop. You can't do it like that. That's the problem.
But that's how I go. Then I go, oh, yeah. In 1 month, I'm going to feel like,
you know,
Gabby
what's so
feels.
Funny though, is I actually said that too.
To no. Peyton.
No, I did.
What'd you say?
No, I just said literally exactly that. I was like, I'm so excited for Megan because I know exactly what she feels right now and like what she's experiencing. And I feel like she's like right on that cusp of the way I was a couple months ago. So like, yeah. I feel like she's right there too.
How cool
and
is
I think
it?
That's why I'm in your life right now.
That's what I was going to say. How
I'm
cool
there to pull
it,
you.
If universe was like, hey, we like whoever came into your life to help you mm-hmm. get to this point, then you do this to me. It's the chain effect. It's a butterfly effect.
You know, what's interesting about our friendship is like, we're very, very similar people.
Yeah.
And we're also like different in interesting ways, mm-hmm. but like, when we do come together in our friendships, we're usually in the same spot.
Yes.
And we kind of hold a mirror up to the other where it's like, this is you right now. And you can see the things you really admire about that. And you can see the things that like you don't admire so much, but you know that you also have that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it is. Like, I think that's why I like you so much because like, I admire you. I respect you. I think you're so fucking cool. And like, I just think you're awesome.
Same.
Because I think I'm awesome. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then I can also see my own harmful traits. I hope that's not offensive
yeah,
to
no,
you.
Yeah, no. No, I'm well aware. It's my wallpaper, actually. It's like every little thing.
Well, it's just like the same, like, I was telling you when we went to get the tattoos, like, when you get your hair done, like, I have hair meltdowns all the time. And people always tell me, like, but I don't understand, like, it looks good and I'm just confused. Like, I know to you it's worse, whatever. But seeing you have those types of meltdowns about hair, I'm able to go, well, I have meltdowns about hair and I'm watching Megan.
Yes.
And she's struggling with the same thing. And now I recognize that as something, like, I don't need to be this upset about because now I get it from the outside.
Mm.
And that's what I hope that you can look at me and see shit you don't like. Because everybody has undesirable traits.
Yeah. What we have in common is something that my showrunner for this job that I was shooting for this past year said to me at mm-hmm. the very end. We had this dinner. Well, we like ordered it in and then put it on plates. And then he went around to like all the castmates and said like something to them. And he told me like that he admired how much I'd matured in this year and
you
seeing
have.
Me like, and likewise. So I feel like what he was saying
That's
could
what I'm
saying.
Also We're on the
be
same
us.
Path.
Yeah, he
That's
was talking about us. He was telling us through me by proxy.
Yeah.
So he was saying like, I'm going to say this as a collective us, just because I feel like our energy is on the same
totally.
Wavelength.
We're right there.
Yeah, yeah. So my showrunner said that there's like two sides to us. There's one side that we put forward and it's great. It's a great product. Or not product, but like it's a great...
But it is.
Yeah, it is product. It is our product.
Yes.
So like we put that version of ourselves. Yeah. And then he was like, then there's the one... There's another person who's highly critical of that person. And so... It's so beautiful when you get to be you, completely authentic and like taking away any of the guessing game.
Yeah.
When you're you without trying to be you or like trying to figure out like, what do they want me to say or be like, or how happy should I be in this or like whatever, you know?
I just had a realization.
What?
Do you know who we are?
Who? Miranda?
We are.
From Sex and the City?
No. You know when the plastics... Regina gets
yes.
hit by a bus and everybody hates Katie and everybody hates the plastics.
Yeah.
And then in the last scene, they're all just wearing like polos and jeans and not really friends. And like one's playing sports and like there's like normal, not popular girls, but they're like so cool and have found themselves because they hit rock bottom.
Regina's spine healed and her physical therapist taught her to channel all her rage into sports. And me, I had gone from homeschool jungle freak to shiny plastic to most hated person in the world, to actual human being. All the drama from last year just wasn't important anymore. Finally, girl world was at peace.
That's where we are right now. I am, at least, I feel like. I got hit by a bus and now I play lacrosse because it makes me happy. Is what I'm saying.
I love that so much. But moral of the story, this guy said that there's two versions of us.
I'm awful. There's two versions.
My showrunner said there's two versions of us, one that's performing and one that's looking on the performer. Your inner critic is really, really hard on you. And when you let the inner critic off and you get to just be, then it's magic.
Yeah, that's right where we are. I also say we. I have ADHD and okay. I got distracted by this thought that I feel like I cannot say it on camera, but I have to say it to you right now. You can leave this part in. We have to cut the actual thing.
Bleep out whatever you're about to say.
Yeah, just like, okay, ready guys, you can't hear this part. And when we come back, it's your turn again.
Okay.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, guys, we're back.
Oh, man.
The drama.
The drama. That's one thing that I also think is so beautiful about you is, like, you are not in drama anymore.
Dude, I low-key
You have no
never,
drama.
I low-key, like, didn't ever feel like I was in it. Like, I felt like people were always attacking me. And I don't know if that's, like, a mentally ill thing to say, that I'm just, like, unable to see it in a lot of the situations. There's like a lot of situations felt like, dude, I'm not even fucking saying anything. Like, I'm at home, like, making music. And, like, I'm just so confused. Like, everyone always, like, points to me as, like, she wants drama. She wants drama. And it's like, is it that? Or is it, like, the next day it's, oh, she just ignores shit because she doesn't want to take accountability. So it's like, if I don't answer, then I'm ignoring it because I don't want to take accountability. If I do answer it, I'm drama. But like, I've never started drama online. The only thing I've ever done is respond when I felt like it wouldn't go away. So like, that's always fucking bothered me that people call me like messy and dramatic, because like, I was in drama a lot. But, like, I didn't want to be.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't think anyone wants to be,
yeah,
right?
I mean, that, like, I'm, like, perfect and that I've never done anything dumb online or, like, could have just not said something or whatever it is. But, like, people make it seem like I'm, like, making exposed videos or calling people out on Twitter. Like, I'm really fucking not, dude.
Yeah. But that's what's so cool is now there's, like, none. You don't even carry the weight of having,
as
like,
I just ranted about it.
That's
I'm so
funny.
I'm so over it.
That's so funny because it to everyone listening, it does sound like, did you not just hear her? But your energy doesn't carry that weight.
I know. If I start talking about something I'm passionate, obviously I still get like worked up about it, but like, I'm not walking around all day thinking about it the way I used to.
Do you ever feel like sometimes when you graduate from like the place that you've been in your life, you like raise a level, right? Like if you were ascending in vibration.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like you have like climbed the next staircase to like that version of you?
Is it, like, I feel it every
Gabby
year.
2.1, 2.2, 2.3, yeah. And then like, so technically you'd be like 2.9 right now before you turn Gabby 3.0.
That's so funny.
honestly, that's what age is.
Hilarious.
Is that you're like getting an update on yourself. Holy every shit. Month is a new update of yourself. Fuck.
That's awesome.
2.9. Like, I'm on Megan 2.9. Can you, Megan 3.5? Holy shit.
You have to conceptualize this into something because that's so awesome that you just like, you just reframed your mind to think of each year as an upgrade.
And each month like as when a my growth iPhone, period.
Like,
yes.
Those go up in numbers because they get better, bitch.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's a fun concept.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what you do with that.
It might just be this.
Yeah, that was already my ADHD workaholic self being like, how can I take this little perfect thing and make it so much extra than it needs to be?
Fuck, dude. That's so funny you say that because the reason why we started recording when we did is because I had said that I get really excited about things lately.
Yeah.
And then I lose steam. I get super inspired and like, honestly yoked, and I like sit down and I write down my entire, I lose sleep over, I wake up in the morning, oh, yeah. Like I'm so excited for this new idea and to tell everybody and to get people's ideas. I have shot lists out even before totally. I know if I really want to do it. And it's like, okay, is there an opportunity where we can just take something at face value? But for me, I always want to go like, how many things can I make off of one thing to like spread my wings?
Oh, yeah.
But like,
that's been the whole last 3 months of my life.
That's, I'm like in that right now.
Yeah. It's like, okay, I'm recently learning more about my ADHD because I'm realizing a lot of the like mental illnesses that I thought I might have, it's mostly ADHD and anxiety.
Okay.
And my mom has ADHD. So like,
I definitely have anxiety, so I've been told that I might have ADHD, but I just don't know how to check.
You have like, I mean, you just go to a psychiatrist and you like talk about it and they'll decide. But the problem with it is it's so hard to diagnose and differentiate between like I for sure have CPTSD. So like, I don't know if my OCD is just a symptom of my PTSD or if my OCD is a disorder. Like, it's so hard to figure out, like, do I have obsessive compulsive disorder or do I have very high OCD as a symptom of, does that make sense?
Yes. And how would you ever figure that out? How can you untangle that web?
The thing with the brain and like psychology is at the end of the day, a lot of it is just like human perception of like, it's like somebody made up what a lot of disorders are, not made up because there's like science and patterns or whatever, but like if you say I have like, where's my level of focus have to be ADHD? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But like for sure I have ADHD.
Yeah. Most of my friends do. Well, a lot of creatives do.
One thing that I feel like pretty, I'm actually surprised that I'm like as comfortable talking about it as much as I am now, but I feel like that's just part of me just like accepting life. Like ADHD is so much more than just like not being able to focus or being like hyperfixed. It's like really severe mood shit. And like it often mimics bipolar. Like it can be really intense and it can be dangerous. So like I forget why I started getting on that tangent. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think ADD and ADHD are often confused. Like, I don't know the actual difference between both of
like,
them.
Like, this is ADHD, what's happening right here.
Well, yeah, that's why they have
it. Exactly.
Because it's also anxiety. I think
I wouldn't
hand
be
in
surprised
hand.
If you did.
I would not either.
Especially, like, the emotion of it. Like, when we get upset about our hair, a lot of that is, like, ADHD or, like, OCD.
Oh, my God. If it's shaking hands with anxiety, that's going to last forever.
No, because what I find, I'm not a doctor, but what I find and found is that when one started alleviating for me, they all started alleviating.
Oh.
And like now, like my other shit was so bad that I could barely like even comprehend my ADHD because I was so fucking depressed.
Oh.
Like that was the only thing that mattered. So then everything else, like my ADHD symptoms of like leaving food on the stove and walking away, or like leaving cabinets open, or leaving the cat food out, or like very flight of ideas is like a big one of just like, I'm gonna create 1,000 projects and plan them all out, and I'm gonna do them all tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna start 4 more companies tomorrow.
Right.
And I'm gonna, like when I started painting, I was like, every day I'm gonna paint, do a TikTok of it with a voiceover doing the story of what I was painting about and then planned a month of doing that every day.
Yes.
That's ADHD.
Yeah. Well, ADHD and workaholic. Like, that's...
Dude, everything goes so fucking hand in hand.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So you don't feel like that anymore?
No, I definitely still do, but like not... It's not to the extreme. And also, like, now that I recognize it as a part of like a mental thing, it's a lot easier for me to understand it, move on, and forgive myself. Because usually when I wouldn't accomplish those things, I would have overwhelming feels of like guilt and worthlessness and like, oh my God, like I'm such a fucking failure. I had all these things that I didn't do, but realistically I was planning them in a way that I was setting myself up for failure, then failing, then beating myself up over failing.
Right.
So now I'll still overplan, but I'll, when I don't get to it, say, obviously I didn't get to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was too much shit.
I love that. That's like giving yourself so much grace. If we all just talked to ourselves like that, it would be so much better. Because like my inner voice doesn't really sound fully like that, but definitely closer. Like my friend the other day broke this really beautiful like stone twisted trivet that I got that I love. Oh my God, it's gorgeous. Or was, because she broke it.
Oh.
And I was like, as soon as she broke it, she was like, ah, I'm going to buy you another one of these. Where'd you get this thing? Number one, I already had two of them because I buy like two of everything.
Yeah.
So when it broke, I was like, it's not a big deal. It's also a piece of fucking ceramic. Yeah. It's also one of my best friends. Like, yeah. What am I going to do? Get mad for a little bit?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Don't worry. No, you're not buying me that. Okay, bye. Like, you know, yeah. It's not.
But we're also, we're in such a good place in so many ways where like, to us, like the cost of that isn't an issue, really.
Yeah.
And like, if it was, it would be a bigger deal.
I see.
You know what I mean? Like to you, it's like that dollar amount that you spent on that means a lot different now.
Yeah.
And that's another reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a part of like money anxiety too. Just like, well, that's not a diagnostic thing, but like, I have a lot of anxiety around money that like were irrational. That was another, dude, can I go on a tangent?
Yes.
Oh.
Lead the way.
I'm so fucking tired of people diagnosing me in YouTube comments.
Okay, let's
and
talk about it.
I had a vlog yesterday that I'm not posting because it was too emotional, and now I'm just doing it all on here. And like, but I fucking can't stand when people diagnose me in YouTube comments because they don't know me. And like, people keep trying to say I have borderline personality disorder, which okay. If I did, like, this is no like shame or shade to anybody who has it, but I don't. So I don't like being told that I do. Like, it's just like, don't tell me I have an illness that I don't have. Like, it's fucking annoying. And like, they'll say like, oh, she's most likely borderline personality disorder because of this list of traits. And in the list of traits, the only ones they're looking at are rocky relationships and mood swings, essentially.
Yeah.
Having trouble with relationships and mood swings do not mean I have a fucking personality disorder.
Right.
It means that I'm growing up. It's so annoying. Like,
I bet.
I have borderline personality disorder because you've seen me go through some friends. Maybe they were fucking toxic too.
Right.
Because like all of my longstanding relationships that I still have to this day, like present company included, are healthy, cool people. Like people act like I don't have any fucking friends when I have a lot of friends. They're just not people who are on fucking camera all the time.
Yeah.
It's just so frustrating. So like, first of all, you're basing on a snapshot of my life where like you see the stuff that's online where people make money shit talking people. Like people have a motive to do this shit. Mm-hmm. So like if you have a reason and you don't care about me as a person, you'll say some negative shit about me publicly. Cool. Love that. My real friends and my real life that you don't see, don't do that.
Yeah.
That's why you don't fucking know them.
Right.
I hate admitting that a hate comment makes me mad, but it does because I get it all the fucking time from people who like, there's some people who are just trying to be helpful and be like, hey, I think you have borderline personality disorder, which is already like offensive, but like,
yeah,
but a lot of people, 'cause
you're
say
not
it,
asking, are you?
Yeah. But like a lot of people say it as an insult. Where they're like, she has BPD. That's why none of her relationships last. Da, da, da. Because you're also like taking an illness that people really struggle with. Like, mental health is hard. Do you think people with borderline personality disorder like being volatile in relationships? Right. No. Like, it's not something they're happy to do. You don't wake up being like, I want to fuck up somebody's day. Nobody does that. The other one, the mood swings. Like, there's so many things that cause, like, mood. First of all, I'm just an emotional fucking person. Like, right now, I'm speaking very emotionally. Am I mad at you? No. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just an emotional, expressive person.
Yeah.
And it's moody. And, like, I express everything. And I do feel strongly. That's also anxiety. That's also PTSD. That's also OCD. That's also just, like, in general, bad coping skills. So to say I have a personality disorder because I have mood swings? Like, come on, dude. But then they ignore the rest of it where it's, like, impulsivity, reckless spending, reckless sex, gambling, like all this shit. Like, dude, I'm the least impulsive person in the world. Like, I bought a house after, like, years after everybody else, not even at the price that I could afford because I'm that anxious about money. I don't have nice cars. I don't have designer bags. Where have I ever shown this reckless behavior?
Right.
Where is all my impulsivity? Where's all of these random guys I'm fucking? Where am I doing drugs on the corner? Not to say that these are personality disorder things, but like if you have BPD, I'm not saying you're doing crack is what I'm saying. But like, where, what reckless behavior are you talking about?
Yeah.
So it's like, why are you doing this? And then under that, somebody said, they're arguing whether I have borderline personality disorder or narcissistic personality disorder. Sorry, I'm like really ranting now.
No, I'm trying to get in your shoes.
Come on, baby. I hope you're never in them. Oh God, they're loving that I'm so upset about this right now too. That's why I hate talking about it. Cause like, they love this. This is what they wanted me to feel this way.
But why do you feel this way?
Because like, to be so, like, take somebody being so vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Okay, like, here's an example of, like, the tailspin of, like, why I got so pissed off about it. It just sounded like I was crying, but my voice was just faltering from yelling.
Oh, my God. Okay, you're overthinking this.
No. You'll hear it on the playback. It sounded like I went like this. You'll hear it, and then you'll laugh. If you didn't hear it, rewind it. You'll hear it this time.
Okay.
So I was just talking about how I was not myself in therapy because I was like really insecure and had all my defenses up and I'm so used to being judged and criticized and my life being picked apart. And like, there were things that I was afraid to be diagnosed with. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody on the internet was telling me that I was a narcissist. So I was like, oh my God, I don't want to be a narcissist. And I would go in there being like, I'm afraid I'm a narcissist. And then they'd be like, you're not a narcissist. Like, you wouldn't be here if you were, essentially. But then I was like, well, is that the only reason I came? And I just don't know it because I'm such a narcissist that like my instinct is to, okay, if I go to therapy, then people will know that I'm not a narcissist. But like, that's not it. But like, when people are like gaslighting you like that, like, I questioned my reality for real for like 2 years of like, well, am I a master manipulator? Am I a sociopath? Am I a narcissist? Like, am I a monster? Am I the reason all my relationships fail? Am I the reason that like da 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 da? And then you start like convincing yourself and you're an evil person because nobody is telling you you aren't, unless you meet great people, which is why I'm in such a good place now because like my friends are awesome.
Right.
But there was a tangent. I was saying how I didn't open up to my therapist and I was like, I'm afraid he's judging me. I'm afraid he's criticizing me. And the comment was like, your therapist isn't thinking about you. He's thinking about dinner that night. Like, he's being paid there. He's being paid to sit there and like, listen, like, this is just your narcissism showing.
Oh.
Like, this person implied that I was narcissistic for being insecure about how another human being is perceiving me. Like, that's how twisted these people are.
Okay.
That like, they want me to be a bad person so badly that like, if you're a normal empathetic person, you would look at that situation and say, wow, this girl is so, her self-esteem is so low. Her self-worth and confidence are so low that she's insecure about her therapist judging her.
Right.
And like, that's what a normal person would see. Somebody who wants to hate me took that moment of like, wow, this girl's a fucking loser. Like, she has no self-worth. And said, what a narcissist. to think that her therapist would think about her. At base level, yeah, like they're like, he's thinking about dinner that night. Like, he's not judging you. He doesn't care. Yes, he does. Also, like, I'm a narcissist not only for being a vulnerable, insecure person. I'm also a narcissist for thinking that the person in the room with me, who is at baseline being paid to care, yeah, and listen to my thoughts and remember my life,
yeah,
and figure out my brain, like, base level, he cares, even if it's just for his job.
Totally.
But, like, he probably does care because he's a fucking person. You know what I mean? Like, why right. is that narcissistic for me to be like, a therapist cares about me because I'm his client, I'm his patient, client, right. customer. I'm like, client, like, what are we?
What am I? I really feel it's only because, like, I'm coming into this part of your life after I've been gone for over a year. Yeah. Coming in right now, it's like, I see a huge shift. Was it a gradual shift or was it like instant? Like one day you just like clicked into.
I think it was like very gradual and then all at once. What is that? Is that from like The Fault in Our Stars or something?
Is it?
It's a quote from something.
It sounds like beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
I loved it.
I love that quote, but like, is it from like a teen like rom-com? Whatever, who cares? Know. That's how it happened. It was very gradual and all at once. Where, like, I was definitely in a transitional phase in my life where I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with the rest of my life. Because I was like, well, I don't want to be a YouTuber. Like, I'm fucking done with that shit. And then, like, just kind of losing confidence in my music and was getting a record deal. But I was like, I mean, at least, like, I'm getting paid to do my music, whether or not it does well, like, mm-hmm. whatever. Like, I was very, like, floating through life. But I had let go of a lot of anger and like sadness and shit. So like I was getting to a better place, but I wasn't like driven or motivated or excited or creative. And then when I started the new channel, that was when I like, it was like all at once, but then more and more each day too. Like it's like an ever changing, growing thing. And sometimes you go backwards.
Yeah.
And sometimes you go forward a lot and then you go back again and that's life. Oh, I remembered the tangent I got off of earlier. I was saying, like, that shit about legacy. Like, the reason I started the channel partly, I feel like, or at least I realized it pretty early on, like, maybe 2.5 weeks in, I was like, oh, now I know why this channel means so much to me, even though there's not that many subscribers on it. The truth of who I am is out there now.
Oh.
Yeah. And like, if you want to go find it, like, it's not like, like, I just had this fear of like my grandkids or great grandkids looking into me and just seeing like these awful things and like never getting to know who I am because I wasn't showing myself on the internet. I was just like, I was making content, dude. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not me.
That's how I feel right now.
Yeah. So I just wanted to be me.
Yeah. No, on Instagram today, I'd asked, like, what type of videos, like, especially do you want to see? Because, like, obviously, I really want to do home design videos. But I was just interested. Like, I've had this channel for a while. And it's, like, through this dance stage, then the cooking stage. Then, you know, it's just, like, had a bunch of, like, lives. So I just wanted to see what was up. And so many of the comments were, like, a real honest Q&A or like genuine vlogs where like you don't cut out like anything but jokes, like just real human stuff.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's the next trend in YouTube.
If it's not the next trend in YouTube, it's definitely the way for people like us to sustain what we're doing, because it's just about like, what life do you want, dude? Like, you could do certain things that you know would like get a ton of views and shit and focus on that and chase that and always try to do the next big thing. And that's fine. Like, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, like Mr. Beast. Like, if that's his life forever, like PewDiePie's life forever, that's fine. Cause like, if they're feeling fulfilled by that and excited and creative about that, like, for sure. But if you're not fulfilled and excited and creative by that, and you're just doing it because it's like popular and not cool, then life's gonna suck. So this is like the sustainable way of like, I have a really awesome core audience. The channel's growing, whether it's fast or slow or somewhere in between, like, it's growing. So, like, I already have enough. Like, I'm just trying to be happy.
That's so refreshing to hear. In Los Angeles especially, there's so many people that move out here in order to, like, achieve their dreams and goals. And we are definitely these people too. But I'm starting to find that I'm falling into connection and conversation with people that don't talk about that.
Yeah.
We will just talk about life, and we will just talk about interesting ways of thinking about new things, and less about the day-to-day stuff.
Well, think about who we are as people to our core with what we were kind of put in with. Like, it's like we're both for sure very work-oriented, driven people, but we're also very spiritual, artistic people.
Yeah.
And like, we don't fit in social media. And that was like a huge identity struggle that I was having for a really long time, because to be popular on social media, it's kind of hard to be who I am at my core, which is somebody who hates social media. I don't like sharing. Like, I haven't posted on Instagram in so long because, like, I don't like taking pictures of myself. Like, that's not fun.
Yeah.
It's not enjoyable for me. And, like, I guess you could look at it as, like, well, that's your job to work and take pictures. Like, it's part of... No, it's not. Like, it could be if I liked it.
Yeah.
But, like, and I could be more successful maybe if I was doing that, like, really putting a lot of effort into my pictures. But I'm not looking for people who like my pictures to listen to my music. I'd rather just have less people listen to my music and fuck with it, and me not, like, stress myself out every day to get interesting Instagram pictures in my house.
Yeah.
I'm bored. I don't want to do it anymore. And, like, I don't want to do makeup, and, like, I don't want to put on makeup to take a more interesting Instagram picture either. It's so boring to me.
Do you think that the past version of you would think like that?
That's all I did. Yeah. That's why I posted shit all the time. Like, I would literally, like, do makeup because, fuck, I haven't posted an Instagram picture in, like, a fucking week. I better fucking put on some makeup and take a picture. Like, what?
Yeah, it's a crazy thing to hear, but it's what goes on in my mind, too.
Yeah, because we were content creators. That was our job. But, like, you don't have to have the same job forever. Like, it's okay to, like, change jobs. And, like, I was an influencer and a YouTuber, and I made money, like, selling my personality and my face, and that worked. And now it's not fun because it got, like, hard, and I'm getting older, and that type of crowd is less interested. So, like, I have enough. I'm just having fun and being happy. And it's not like I'm not making money.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still a successful person. I'm just not, like, Instagram famous. And that's okay.
And that is okay.
And honestly, I still am.
People, that's just, like, so, dude, funny.
People put so much weight on engagement. And, like, because that's who I was hanging out with all the time.
Right.
I cared so much. Like, literally, I never gave a fuck about Instagram. But everyone who I was hanging out with was literally, like, comparing each other's fucking likes when people weren't in the room. Like, people would literally be like, did you see this person's engagement? Like, they're getting this many likes now.
What?
And that was, like, the conversations I was around for fucking years. So, like, that's all I thought mattered because I never had adult friends. So then I started hanging out with cool people and, like, met my boyfriend and all his friends and hanging out with other artists and musicians, and, like, they don't talk about that shit. So I stopped caring, but there was still this part of my ego that was, like, holding on for dear life of knowing other people still cared. So even though I didn't care, I couldn't fucking stand waking up and knowing that people were in rooms talking about my engagement. Like, when you call somebody irrelevant, like, that shit hurts.
Yeah.
But, like, only if you are still, like, walking around with a lot of ego. So I just had to be like, okay, people, you know, here's the real fucked up kicker of it all is, like, in my case, like, cancel culture made me a better person, but, like, it's not the way they thought it would. Like, they were punishing me for sins I didn't fucking commit. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's throwing fucking stones as if they're not human. And again, and, like, I'm not saying I'm, like, a perfect person, but, like,
but you are a person.
I'm a person. Like, I sometimes I'm fucking mean to people. Like, sometimes I'm a bitch to a, like, customer service person. Like, sometimes I yell at my boyfriend and then I feel bad and I apologize. Like, sometimes I take shit too personally and I'm, like, too defensive with my friends. Like, yeah, I'm a fucking a person.
Yeah, it's a person.
And, like, I'm tired of, like, being crucified for just, like, being a human, because, like, Like, people say it like, oh, she's under a microscope. But like, no, but seriously, because the shit that was really bad wasn't true. The stuff that was true wasn't really that bad.
Right.
Like, when you look at it in the lens of, and again, like, I know people listening and here I am overcorrecting myself all the time. Again, I know I'm not a perfect person. I'm not saying that I haven't like been shitty, but like, I did not deserve that. Like, what happened to me? That was crazy. I was so like traumatized by social media that I just had to like, it wasn't a part of my life. Like, it felt like I got fired and I was just like, I have to accept that this is just not where I can be. And I was like trying to figure out what my life meant now.
What was the impetus to that moment where you were wondering that?
It was just, it was so toxic that I had to delete my social media for 6 weeks.
It was because it was toxic.
Totally. Yeah. Okay. And it like pushed me to my breaking point where I was like having a mental fucking breakdown. And like, I did this huge explosive like rant. It was like a podcast. And everybody thought that I was like talking about shit that I wasn't talking about. And that's when I had to be like, nobody will ever understand at all. Like, they think I'm talking about like tabloid channels. I'm not talking about that. Like, when I'm talking about like high school fucking bullies, like that type of shit, I'm talking about real fucking bullying and abuse. Like, YouTube's crazy, dude. And you know what's up.
Yeah.
Like, you know a lot of it. But like, so I'm having this massive explosion and people are just like, oh, because people are making fun of your music and your book. No, dude, not at all. I'd rather delete my social media than anybody ever care. Like, I didn't care to like tell people the shit that was going on because I'm like, I don't want to be involved. Mm-hmm. Like, this shit's so scary and like weird. So I was just like, I'm out. Goodbye. I'm done with social media. I don't want it. I had some fucking contracts, had to come back. So I was like, all right, I'll fucking come back, I guess. And then once my book is out and shit, like, I'm just going to peace out. Like, I'm fucking done with this. Like, I was for real done. So like in that time, I had to try to figure out like, who am I now?
And how did you go about, like, did you wake up the day after you decided, like, that you're going to figure this out, and you woke up, and then how did you, what was the first thing that you did in, like, the self-discovery journey?
It was, like, I mean, it was putting a lot of the shit behind me, and then deciding, like, okay, I'm not a personality, I'm not an influencer, like, what do I do now? And I was just, like, hanging out. Like, it was December. I haven't taken a break in ever. So I was like, I don't need to decide what I'm going to do with the rest of my life right now.
Yeah.
I'm just going to chill. Peyton knew I was like completely out and like done with YouTube. And we were in the hot tub and I was just like, I'm not doing Vlogmas this year, right? Because we had already talked about like, I'm done with YouTube or whatever. And he was like, why not? And I thought about it and I was like, yeah, why not? Like, it's something to do. And I think it'd be nice if maybe just every December I vlog my life so I can compare year to year. Aww. So that was like the original plan. It's just like, I'm not doing it. I know it's not going to do well. I know people aren't like, it's not going to get a lot of views. Like, I'm not doing it to make money. I'm not doing it to further my brand. I'm just going to vlog. Yeah. And then it just turned into like, oh, well, and this is where ADHD is good sometimes. I was like, well, if I'm going to do it, I might as well just try it on a brand new channel because I've been wanting to start a new channel for my music and my art just for like whatever. So let me just like grow the audience this month by pushing a new vlog every day. So when I drop something, like, it'll at least have a core base. Yeah. And then I just got really, really in it because I, day two was already like super overwhelmed. And I was like, God, what am I going to do? Like, I had vlogged a little bit earlier that day. It was like boring. I was like, I know, I'll take Twitter suggestions like for songs. I'm just going to sing in the tub. And then I was like, I gotta be high for this shit. Like, whatever. So I lit a joint on camera telling myself I'm gonna edit it out.
Yes.
And then I've never done that before. Like, I'd never been in a situation before where like weed to me was always to shut my brain off. Like, yeah. I smoked every day for years because I was just like, I have so much fucking anxiety. Smoking gives me more anxiety. I don't care because like, I'd rather feel that type of anxiety than like the real life shit I'm dealing with right now.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I was not using it properly. I was like in a happier place, like in a bathtub, smoking with a camera. And like my instinct is just to talk to the camera.
Yeah.
So I just like started talking to the camera, but like my thoughts were way fucking different. And I was naked in a bathtub in the dark with candles and everything was just different. And then I loved it. So I was like, oh, okay, that was fun. Maybe I'll do that again sometime. And then the next day I started vlogging sober, like just vlogging my day. And then at night I smoked again just to vlog, but I was going to talk about something else.
Yeah.
But smoking in front of the camera opened me up again. And I realized it was because...
It's like a portal.
Yeah, because it's like I can say my thoughts out loud and like process them and understand them, but nobody's judging me. That's how I learned that I was insecure that my therapist was judging me. Because right. I was like...
So it's like self-therapy kind of.
Yeah. It was like, why can I do this like this? But why can't I... Why didn't I tell my therapist like that?
Yes.
Was I afraid he was going to judge me? What's he judging me for? That's what he's there for. And I was able to process that of like, why the fuck... I'm that fucking insecure that I was afraid that my therapist was judging me. Like that type of shit was coming out on camera. So then I was like, I love this. And it was daily. So I didn't have time to think about it.
Wow.
So it was like every day was reckless. Like, oh fuck, am I going to publish this?
Oh my God.
And then I publish it. Yeah. It was really amazing.
It's like video diarying.
Wait, so what have you seen?
I watched the first one where you're in the bathtub.
What did you think?
Oh my God.
Was it fun?
So cool.
I never get to talk to anybody about this in person.
No, it's so cool to see because you know what? Like, I was laying down watching it and I felt like I was hanging out with you. Yeah, because you're exactly who you are in that video. And like, it's stream of conscious that you're just talking. There's silences, obviously. And like, the way that you talk, toning and the pacing and like... It's just
oh my
so
God,
nice.
Meg, wait until you find your voice. I think we talked about this too. When you find your voice, like you've probably never heard it, I'm assuming, because I didn't hear mine until that voice you hear in that video. That's not the voice I'm using right now. Right now I'm still like,
yeah.
But when I'm just talking to myself, that means I'm not paying attention at all to how I'm presenting. I'm talking to myself. Like I have no one to fucking impress.
Wow.
That's who you are at your very core.
Oh my God. So basically, do you ever think like before you record, you're like, I'm going to make this video for my future self or for
oh,
my
every
past.
Time. 100%.
Yeah. Like I know, like, you know, all the answers because you've yeah. seen this, but anyway, this is what I'm feeling now.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I really want to try this. It's going to live on my hard drive, obviously. But
who knows? Maybe it'll open something up in you. I didn't think I would ever do that. I didn't even think I'd ever smoke on camera.
Really?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
Because that, you're like, that would just be like the nail in the coffin for any brand deals or anything.
Well, it was also just something that like, that's another thing I process. As you watch the series, you'll see, I feel like I process most shit. I still find some more shit, but like.
So cool.
The fundamentals I've gotten to. Oh, why I never smoked weed. It was mostly fear of judgment from my family, which I realized like once I started processing that, I was like, well, wait, why am I trying to impress them? They're not who I want to be. Like, I don't believe what they believe. That's okay.
Yeah.
I don't have the same, like, I'm just a different person. It's right. hard. Like, I don't know if, I have no idea if this is just a human growing up thing or if this is like a growing up in an abusive household thing. Cause like, who knows? They're all different.
Right.
But like, my like approval in general is very important to me, but like for some reason approval from them was incredibly important and I don't even talk to them. So like what the fuck is that about? Weird.
Yeah, so then you like shook hands with that and then let it go because it wasn't serving you essentially?
It wasn't logical. That's why like when we're talking and I'm saying, oh, that's not logical. That's what I mean. Because like once you pick it apart, like when we were talking about, I don't know if you want to talk about it now, but this. And I was like, oh, that's not logical.
Gabby and I were at a tattoo shop and everybody was talking about this one tattoo that I had. We were talking about like our first tattoos. Mm-hmm. And I started talking about my tattoo, but I wasn't going to show anybody. And I don't know. I do know my voice cracking right now. Like I didn't want to show because I'm embarrassed by it because it's not something that I would do now, I guess. And so, I don't know. As you talk about legacy, it's like I would never want something to stick that like makes me look like I'm not like the most evolved version of myself. Like I always feel like my YouTube personality isn't as caught up with my evolution. Like because I don't film that often. Like if I filmed every single day, you would see it. But it's like you get like little bits and pieces.
You don't want to present something that's not you.
In that, yeah, at its
but
core,
here's,
it's that.
Here's
it's like,
where like anxiety and also like ego and not narcissism, but like narcissistic traits that we all have that I'm still finding mine is like, nobody's looking at your tattoo.
Right.
So like that's why it's not logical. Like nobody's looking at Megan Batoon at her wrist tattoo. It's not even registering for them. I understand your thought.
Yeah.
But like nobody in your gravestone, like when people look at your casket, they're not looking at that tattoo.
Right. I got super insecure at the tattoo shop and yeah. I was like, that was the moment when I think I was like, I'm going to go do what Gabby did. Like, and just like record and just see it. Cause I was thinking about it and talking to a friend of mine about how cool it was. It's kind of CBT therapy with yourself because you're,
yeah.
It's talk therapy. It's just, you're talking out loud. Mm-hmm. And then it was fun to hear you say, like, when you were in a room alone, you were scared to say a specific word. You're scared to say, God damn it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you discover like why. Mm-hmm. That's so interesting, probably to watch back your growth, like to see you figure something out.
Yeah.
It's probably so cool.
I haven't really watched them back yet, but we'll see.
I feel like everybody, we should just all start doing this, like video diarying.
Dude, it feels really good, but also like it's definitely not for everybody. If you're keeping it for yourself.
For yourself, totally, yeah. No, I don't think everyone should
be psychotic for that shit. Internet. Yeah, I'm weird for that, but it is really helpful. And it's really easy to do.
But what I was thinking is it's basically journaling, but your brain works so much faster than 100%. Your wrist,
yeah.
That you can get literally more words per minute because it's just easier to talk.
And when you're writing, it's a task. So like you naturally stop writing if you're not sure of your thought. When you're collecting your thought out loud, instead of batting it away, like I would have just not written the word, God damn it.
Sure.
I wouldn't have stopped and be like, oh shit, why?
Yeah.
You know? And then like tangents like wouldn't happen. Because right. You have a focus. You're writing about something that you feel.
I love that so much. It's like it's an extra level of journaling to me.
Yeah, totally. Because you can also like, I notice a lot of weird mannerisms too. Mm-hmm. And then if I notice those, I'm like, I wonder why I like am having so much trouble making eye contact with the camera right now. Or why did I come back to consciousness in that moment where like I'll be kind of looking around and then there's a moment where I look to the camera and I'm like, I wonder why. That must have been the part where I like came back and wanted to share something more directly or whatever.
Yeah.
Just, it's interesting to see what your brain's actually doing.
Yeah. I think that's such a cool way of documenting your progress because I remember when I first started dancing, I would record myself like every day learning different choreography and like, so I could see my growth.
Yeah.
And it's something that you can see easily with like a skill, like a visual skill, like dancing, but with like being yourself, that's probably so much cooler to see growth.
Probably. It's just like, I haven't watched it yet, but it's in my life, it feels cooler.
Yeah. Fuck. It's just what a cool concept to feel like you have nothing to hide. Like, yeah. I'm so inspired by you doing that I'm like, what's a brand friendly way to like get the same essence, you know? But it's like, why am I still worried about that?
Yeah. That's why I say, like, kind of jokingly, like, cancel culture saved my life because it really wasn't what they were doing. Like what that is bullying and harassment and absolute cruelty and narcissistic abuse. Like if you participate in cancel culture, you need to like over dumb shit. Like obviously like you guys all know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
if you're just participating in the canceling of someone over personal drama, like you need to really look at what you're doing because it's wild. But I said this kind of infamous line in a video at this point where I said something about I had nothing left to lose or something.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said in a very, I don't even remember the context. I just remember like something along the lines of like, you've taken everything. I feel like I have nothing left. So like I have nothing left to lose or something.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I meant that like, I was ready to like self-destruct everything, like delete everything, like whatever. But that was what brought me the most peace was I was just like, none of this matters. Like
right.
That real feeling of like, if a brand doesn't want to work with me, it's not because I'm smoking a fucking J. It's not because, you know what I mean? Like if I get a tattoo that like people don't think is cool, who cares? They already don't like me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Who cares? Like, I can say, I'll say whatever the fuck I want and be whoever the fuck I want to be. And that's going to be fine because I'm actually a really good person.
Yeah, you are.
So, like, I'm not worried about being myself and getting canceled because I got canceled over shit that wasn't real. And I am a good person. So, yeah. I'm just going to be fucking me.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so exhausting.
But how exciting.
Oh, no, that part's great. Just, like, anytime I talk about this, because I talk about it so seldomly. And, like, ugh. To everybody listening, they're probably like, oh, she talks about this so much. I really don't. It's just like when I'm talking to other creatives on a mic, like this is interesting.
Yes. Hell yeah, it is. I always wonder like how different our lives could have been.
Oh, yeah. But like they never would have been anything else. So, like,
you know? That's the other thing is that's where like the fate and the destiny comes in.
It just happened the way it happened because that's the way it was going to happen. Like,
why do we worry about where we're going to end up if we always know that we're going to end up where we should be?
Well, because that's also kind of not 100% true, because ending up not where you should be, in quotes for people who are listening, could be where you end up. I guess who knows about fucking fate then, right? Because there's so many things that also interfere, like government, like systemic racism. Like, that can't be fate.
No.
Like, a lot of people don't have that opportunity. And yeah. that is the privilege.
Yes.
Damn. So, like, what the fuck is fate then? Because if there's like people suppressing certain people, those people don't get to meet their fate. So like, what is fate? Because I don't think that it's somebody's fate to be like stuck in a bad system. Those things, you can't meet your fate. Like, even though I think we both kind of talk about our home lives in a way that's like, I don't know how much you talk about. It's like less than perfect vibes. We're still pretty fucking lucky.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Every fucking day.
Yeah. But like some people just don't get past that because how could you? Like when we were talking about like your examples of relationships, like that's who you are. Like if your example and the only example you ever have the opportunity to see is being like a broke single mom or a dad who's into drugs or guns and violence, like, and then everyone around you is that and there's no possible way for you to leave that.
Yeah.
Or if people say there is a way and like, there is a way because like, you know, you, even if you hitchhike out, but if you're not given that example, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you're stuck because
there's no way out.
Yeah. Who's inspiring you? Like, that's why role models are so important.
Do you feel like you have any role models right now?
Do I have role models? Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Of course. I have a ton. Do you?
I guess. I've never really thought about it.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are role models. I think I don't have like a role model because I don't idolize anyone, but like everyone I've had on my podcast so far, I would consider a role model.
Right.
For some reason. Like I have them on because they inspire me. Like I think Ty Verdes is a huge role model for just like really grinding it out and like finding what works for him and being so passionate and artistic and sure of himself and like just putting out music and being, he's so confident and like he's a role model.
Yeah.
PP Cocaine, she's like this 19-year-old girl who, she was a stripper and was into drugs and she overdosed and now she's a musician and she's super sexual. And like a lot of people wouldn't look at her as a role model, but like what I see is somebody who was like raped fucking 5 times before she turned 18. And now she like owns her sexuality.
Yeah.
Like to me, that's a role model. Or like Adam and Lena, they do like OnlyFans and porn and like shit like that. And they're role models because they're like really awesome parents who are like raising a daughter and having like a rich, successful family without like holding on to like society standards of like what's special. And like, you're a role model because of all the reasons I tell you all the time. Yeah. I always look to you like first.
Same.
Yeah. Like I look at you for like how to be like a grown up and style and fashion and like how to organize my life and like express myself more in my clothing. And like, I would say your videos are a big reason why I started taking pride in my appearance after I was coming out of a depression where I was like, who inspires me? Fucking Megan. Like, she looks so good. She looks so, like, chill, but, like, stylish and sophisticated. And, like, she's an influencer, but she's an adult. And you're, like, grinding. Like, you just did this show and you took this, like, leap of faith moving out of the thing that was, like, giving you a lot of views to try something new. And it was, like, really discouraging for a long time. And then you just kept going. And now you, like, got a show. And, like, that's fucking awesome. You're a role model.
Wow.
Yeah, I have a lot of role models.
Oh my gosh. It goes back to our thing. Like, if you're not inspired by your friends, you need new friends.
Totally. I want a fucking carafe. of water.
That's so cool. I was saying, like, we were drinking out of a carafe and, like,
is there some more water, by the way?
These, yeah, in this carafe.
This is fucking awesome, dude.
This is like a 30-year-old thing. I think I'm like ready for that decade.
You like, are.
I am ready.
30's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not even there yet, but I'm so fucking excited.
Yeah. It's like the starting line.
Hell yeah, dude. 30 is like, what are your 20s? Grinding. Oh my God. What? You know when you're like growing up and you're learning about being an entrepreneur and they're like, put in the work now and yes, you can relax later.
That's
happening.
That's what I did.
Dude, we put in the work and now we're relaxing.
That's okay. So we did the thing that they tell us to do.
That's what I'm saying. Bonus round, bitch. Like, we're in it. We did the thing. Like, we are relaxing now because we worked really hard. And like, we're still working hard and creating, but like, we don't need to be doing what we were doing in our 20s.
Yeah.
We get to chill now and like work hard, but like, I don't need a 500,000 likes on Instagram right now. Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Yes. I'm fine.
I'm just thinking of all the people who want to hate me hearing that and being like, oh my God, listen how much she's trying to pretend like she doesn't care about her likes. If she didn't care, she wouldn't be talking about it so much.
Oh my gosh.
I can't.
I don't have enough energy for that, and neither do you.
Neither do I. That's
it's
why, like,
it's so like, yeah. Wait, the ears that would fall on wouldn't be where we are right
totally
now. Like, you know, where it's just like it's not the same vibration. We're not going to connect with it. We're just on a different wavelength. So, like, you could say it. It's a difference between like when I first started YouTube, and I would get comments, just like not even hate comments, just like you have a crooked eye or like a snaggle tooth or whatever it is, and it's like, okay, cool, I'm gonna get my eyes checked and a veneer. Like, I would change everything so quickly.
Did you do that for real?
Yes.
That's real?
Yeah, I have a veneer right here.
Whoa.
I don't think I've ever told like anyone on the internet.
I had no
that.
idea,
because I was so impressionable then. I was 21. Mm. And so like I had never been bullied before. And so like any type of criticism, and coming from like an obedient fucking household, I always wanted to be perfect in the eyes of whatever the rules were. And so after like learning that I don't care now, those are like that I have enough self-love that if I got a comment that was to say something like that, I would like scan it for truth. And if it didn't have truth, if it was illogical, then I would go, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, it wouldn't even resonate.
Yeah.
And so I feel like when you're on a specific wavelength, the vibration, you can't even hear it. It's like a dog's whistle tone.
Yeah.
You know, you can't hear negativity.
I'm not there yet.
No, I'm not there either. Oh. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. But we're close.
But I would like to get one step closer to there. And I think every like 2.9, 3.0, 3.1.
Totally.
I'm going to start thinking about like my personal evolution upgrade every single month like that. Like, if you start going like Gabby 3.0, oh my God.
It's so funny that you're doing the thing and we're like, this is what I have to do every month. I need to like, I need to think of it this way. Like, dude, just think of it that way. Like, don't think about thinking it that way. Just, that's your mindset now. Stop thinking about it.
Oh my God.
Doesn't have to be monthly, dude. Like, that doesn't even work out because there's 12 months in a year and 10 points in a decimal. You're overthinking it.
Holy shit. So that's workaholic. Or that, what
or
is that?
Or ADHD, or just overthinking, or just social anxiety, or anxiety in general. Or like,
but or just like being so like, I want to do the coolest thing. Like, I have an idea. I was thinking about this today earlier. I was like, I love how Gabby is so herself in the videos, and it makes me, as a 30-year-old woman, want to watch that. Because the videos that
awesome, you're my fucking demo.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Me. Like, if I need to learn how to, like, patch up a wall, I'll watch that. But, like, of people, I would only want to watch something like
Fun.
I See in You.
Because I love that. Thank you.
It's so authentic, and it's so inspiring to be yourself. And I think it's going to help a ton of people watching, and also a ton of creators, because you're kind of doing a format that hasn't fully been done yet, or at least hasn't been done by someone as big as you.
Thank you. Yeah. Honestly, I appreciate that a lot, because that was like, I don't know if you got to that episode yet, but I actually had sort of a realization on that channel of like why it felt so special, and like why I was so much more excited about like 2,000 views over 2 million views. And it was because like, I was so proud of what I was creating. I was like, I've never seen this shit before. And I just wanted it to exist. And it all goes back to the legacy thing that we keep getting taken off of. There was, I just wanted to create a platform of like, this is who I am. And then I wrote a song. Oh yeah, we talked about this. We wrote a song, or I wrote a song called When I Die, Remember Me Like This. And I was like, I'm going to set this as the channel's permanent trailer. Like, so when I die, like, that's what people see. Like, oh, what did she do last? What's the first thing I see? So like, I set my own legacy of like, this is my music. This is my sound. This is my channel. This is what I'm about. When I die, remember me like this.
Dude, I'm so, so, so happy for you.
Thanks. I'm happy for you too, because I know that you're just like, you're right along with it. And honestly, like, I'm not trying to like suck my own dick or anything, because like, I just like, I feel like I have a purpose now. And like, just hearing like you say that to my face is just really nice, because like, that is, I do want to inspire people, and like, I do want people to get like excited about their life again, and I want women to stop worrying about their age, and I want us to all stop caring about our bodies, and I just want everyone to just really get back to the root of being their authentic self. So
yeah,
it means a lot that you feel like that you want to do that, because
I talk to my therapist so much about like always feeling like I'm falling off and struggling with authenticity. And it's so interesting that like, I used to not even cuss in my videos. I was so scared. Totally.
I bleeped them for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think like the other month or even year, she was like, what would it look like if you like didn't edit out the word shit? And then I was like, ooh, that sounds like really
cool. Your therapist or your editor said that?
My therapist. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna not do that. It felt so good. And I'm like, damn, I am a square ass bitch. But how fun that the more square I am, the more I get to discover how great I am too.
Yeah, totally.
You know, it's like I put myself in the box.
Yeah.
I'm only a square because I have chopped off myself to and fit inside this idea.
Yes. Oh, I thought you had the box.
And put it into.
When you said square and box, I was like, I see where she's going.
Yes, yes, yes. But the box is like a squished me. Like, but I'm square because I'm only showing one pixel of everything that I am.
Whoa.
Right? Like, so.
Okay, analogy queen.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's like you put yourself in a box, the idea of you, but it's not the full picture. You're just getting one pixel of who you are. So just keep on like pushing out and like working off and dusting off layers of dirt to uncover that authentic self that you have found.
My advice to you is,
thank you. I was gonna ask.
I would just say like, this is great, but also remember that you're still allowed to be like neurotic. Like, you're still allowed to like be neat and like particular, and you're still allowed to like have like workaholic tendencies. Like, don't try to like diminish yourself, because you're doing the thing where you get really carried away, and I totally get it because I do the same thing. But I feel like in your head, you're like, I'm gonna be a brand new, completely different person, which you will, but you have to still love the other parts of yourself that are like, that's still Megan's right. Still like, you're still Megan. You can be a little uptight, you know what I mean? It's okay, we all are.
As always, thank you for listening. Follow Gabby 3.0 on her socials in the show notes, and follow us at Just a Tip Podcast on Instagram.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.